She is the fine sports journalist for ESPN, one of our favorite basketball writers around. On Twitter is at Michelle Vopelt. Remember, spell Michelle with an E. We haven't talked in about a month, so Michelle, I sincerely ask, how are you doing here in mid-August during pandemic 2020?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm glad to have basketball to cover.
Yeah, it's amazing how therapeutic it is. It seems simple, but I've always kind of enjoyed the, I guess, simple pleasures and subtle wit and humor. So just from a basic standpoint, Michelle, whoever coined the term wubble needs some kind of accommodation or to hear from the Nobel Prize people. I just thought that was simple but brilliant, didn't you?
Yes, I think, now I could be wrong, I don't want to get into some Twitter horror story storm, but I think the former WNBA player Monique Curry is one of the people that I saw was very early on referred to it as a wubble. So I don't know who it was. It certainly was not me, but whoever it was, it's clever. But what's interesting, of course, is like anything else, and there are people who hate it, right? So I've kind of just tried to stay away from the whole wobble debate.
Well, I'm loving it. Some people say I might be obsessing it over it, but a little bit. But I've been reading a lot of what you've been covering, especially the last week with Elena Deladon out with Washington because of that ridiculous medical ruling. You had to figure Seattle was as legit as anyone to contend for the title. You know, oddly, their only loss was early to the Mystics, and you wrote about the midseason award favorites. At this point, any doubt that Breanna Stewart, now healthy, has just grown her game and is just the current standard setter?
Yeah, she's really looked great. And that's so nice to see because obviously we've all, you know, seen the two, you know, big injuries for basketball players are ACL and Achilles. And so you always worry about either one of those and how players come back from them. And it's just been great to see her come back and really just not miss a beat. I think right now it's Breanna and Asia Wilson from Las Vegas are right now the two have sort of separated themselves a bit, and it's going to be interesting because they both have great stats, and you know, right now Storm on top of the league, but Vegas is there in second place, so it will be interesting to see down the stretch, you know, if there's any movement in that, if you know they switch 1-2. I don't think so, but it'll still be interesting to watch.
Well, you read my mind because, firstly, we continue with Michelle Vopel of ESPN. You said Seattle setting the pace, but since losing two of their first three, Vegas has been red hot. They actually play Seattle Saturday in the ABC National game. Asia, like Breanna, like Sabrina, was the top overall pick, Rookie of the Year. That team who plays Chicago tonight, I've only been able to catch about two of their games. It looks like they play an incredibly unselfish style. What do you like about that team?
Yeah, what's been interesting is just watching how well they've adjusted to not having Liz Cambage this year. Obviously, when Asia Wilson was drafted number one in 2018 and was Rookie of the Year, Liz Cambage wasn't playing with Vegas then. She was still in Dallas. She came in last year, and that kind of changed things for, you know, for Asia. She doesn't get the same amount of touches, and, you know, her role is a little bit different. She adjusted well to it, but now they have to adjust again, plus add in Angel McCautry, who's, you know, one of the all-time really great players in the WNBA. And, you know, she came in, and I think it's been a really, really good addition for Las Vegas. And then the other thing that's fun to watch is the development of Jackie Young, because she was the number one pick last year who didn't get as much fanfare. You know, she was a very good player, I think, as a rookie, but not somebody with huge numbers, so she wasn't Rookie of the Year. But we're really seeing her, you know, develop. And in a lot of ways that makes sense because she came out as a junior, so it's, you know, this is really almost would have been her rookie year normally. And she's grown up a lot this season, and so that's been the other fun thing to watch about the Aces.
And one of the other awards you alluded to would be Rookie of the Year. Obviously, many of us here and probably around the country wept openly when Sabrina tweaked her ankle. We know Satu Sabali's doing well with Dallas. Lauren Cox of Baylor, the duet from South Carolina. But you actually were talking about a much lower pick. You know, UConn star number 18,000. Dare I say you're giving Crystal Dangerfield much respect?
Yeah, you know what's interesting was going back for the mock drafts, which I think I did five total, and it was, and that was the first of those was, you know, like at the end of last season. And it was interesting how Crystal moved around. You know, some people were like adamantly that she was going to be a first round player. At one point, I had her as high as, I think, five or six. And then it was, no, she's not going to go to the second round. And she just kept kind of moving around. And maybe part of that was her size. You know, she's 5'5", so she's definitely on the small side. But she's also a UConn player, and their pedigree is tremendous in the WNBA. So she's played really well. And obviously the fact that that Sabrina and Kennedy Carter have both been hurt makes that rookie race more wide open. I think Satu is right in there. I mean, I know she's had the back injury the last couple of games. She's still in there, but it's been a really good season for Crystal Dangerfield. She's stepped into a role on a team that's playing well, and she's played very well. If she got it, she would be by far the lowest pick to ever win Rookie of the Year in the WNBA.
Yeah, I want to get to our Duck duet that are playing. I knew, like you said, Satu tweaked her back. She's missed two games. But prior to that, being an international player, she's kind of always been this wise woman of the world, mature beyond her years. So from her willingness to stand up for some of the important issues to her play the first month, you know, gelling with a superstar like Arike Ogunbowale, how do you like how she's playing so far as a rookie?
I do like it a lot, and I think it's been great to see her get the attention she's gotten because she has been, like you said, willing to speak out on different issues, and she has so many different interests, and that's been a big part of the bubble, you know, for all the teams. You guys obviously there know how eloquent and interesting she is. So it's really cool to see her get even more of a national, I think, audience. The, you know, Dallas is the youngest team, actually even younger than New York, even though New York had the seven rookies. If you take an average age, Dallas is the youngest team.
Wow.
And so I think it's going to take, you know, it's going to take a little while. They're so young. For that team to really gel and, you know, maybe next year, year after that, we'll see. But there's been things we've really enjoyed seeing out of them, and I think she's going to be a fantastic player at this level.
A couple final thoughts from Michelle Vopel of ESPN. We were kind of aware that as opposed to Sabali or Ionescu, the other duck, Ruthie Hebert, was going to be more eased in than have a major role with Chicago. And, of course, she gets to play with one of the great point guards in the world in Courtney Vandersloot. And one thing about Ruthie never changes. When she's in there, she makes buckets. She's efficient. So in limited minutes, how would you evaluate her very early days as a pro?
I think she's played well too, and that, what you said is exactly it. You know, when you give her opportunities, she's going to do two things. She's going to put the ball in the basket, and she's going to rebound. And she's on a team with, you know, some good post players who maybe their names aren't that big. Cheyenne Parker, who's been there, I believe, 6 years and wasn't a player who got a lot of attention in college, but has really just steadily gotten better and better. So Ruthie's playing behind some people who have a lot of experience, but she, you know, she got her first start the other day, which I thought was nice. And when you talk to James Wade, you know, he says we put her in there and she makes an impact. You know, if what we need her to do is go in there and grab a rebound, she's going to do that. And I think, you know, that's a good situation for her. She's going to continue to be a player who maybe is not going to get a ton of attention, but she's going to gradually become, a very good player, and she's going to be able to do it at her pace, if you will.
And lastly, one of the first times we spoke, we were talking about at the time, the new commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, had, you know, they'd come to a deal with the new CBA. And then you have this opportunity with a lot of sports shut down for this league to really showcase itself, maybe like never before, you being on social media, getting feedback. Do you think, or do the numbers say that we are actually getting more eyes on the WNBA with, you know, some of the great veterans, plus this injection of some of this amazing young talent?
Yeah, I think we are, and that's based on some of the numbers we've gotten, you know, television-wise. You know, I'm not going to lie, it hurts not to have Sabrina. Obviously, she was the college star of this past year, you know, on the men's and women's side. So her getting hurt, you know, so early, just after a couple of games, and you know, that's a bummer. Everybody, you know, wanted to see her play throughout this season, but you know, injuries happen. You know, hopefully, you know, she's going to be completely healed and be able to come back. I can't imagine she's coming back this year, but come back next year strong. But you're right. We've seen more people talk about the league. We've seen people maybe tune in who haven't watched it before, and that's what you always hope, that people give it a chance.
Well, if they're not going to give it a chance now, then I don't think they're basketball fans, if you ask me. But anyway, folks, she is Michelle Vopel. We know she's watching. We're watching on Twitter. It's at Michelle Vopel. Does just a terrific job keeping us wired in. Michelle, wishing you continued success, health, and sanity. I always appreciate your time. And obviously, as we get closer to playoff time, I'd love to have you back on to chat.
Glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you take care.